Janet Oquin imagines what unchecked love of herself would look like in contrast with the love of Jesus.
I would kill myself with my love for me. I would destroy me. The way I would love me, nobody would even parent that way. I would make a monster out of myself. That's how I would love me if I had the freedom to do it. His love is much better than mine, and I need the reminder that the gospel assures me he loves you better than you love you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth, author of Surrender, for July 27th, 2018.
As we've been hearing for the past couple of days, we all have unfulfilled longings. There's nothing wrong with that. Janet Oquin has been helping us see that those unfulfilled longings can help us look forward to the day when all our deepest desires will be met in Jesus. Janet gave this message at a conference for women hosted by Life Action Ministries, the parent organization of Revive Our Hearts. She and her husband Brent serve in leadership at Faith Ministries in Lafayette, Indiana. Now, yesterday we left off where Janet was explaining the power of the gospel to help adjust our perspectives on our unfulfilled longings. Here's Janet Oquin.
As I grow in my longing for God, I start experiencing a foretaste of that total fulfillment. You'll have those moments where you're like blown away. Understand that when you have those moments, that's a foretaste of the way it will be all the time. But it's just a taste because you're not there yet, but you'll get a taste of it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Ephesians 1 for a couple of minutes and see what God has to say about us. I use this passage when I'm teaching on this and counseling a lot, and this would be a great passage to have them memorize. We're not going to have time to read all the verses. I would like to. So, because of Christ, starting in verse 3, in Christ, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not, I hope that happens. You have, but it's in the heavenly places. Now, I don't know all that that means, but I know some of what it means because he outlines it in the next verses. So I get some indicators of what that means. It at least means I was chosen by the God of the universe before the foundation of the world. I was predestined for adoption. Those of you who've adopted, when you're in the process but you don't have the child yet, that longing, and now imagine being the child, knowing you've been adopted, but you're not with your family yet, that's where we are. But it's a done deal. He's adopted us. He has blessed me with his glorious grace in the beloved. It's all because of Christ. In him, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of my sins. He lavished on me his grace. In him, I've obtained an inheritance. In him, I've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Wow, that's just part of what's in those verses. But right now, I'm in a sin-cursed body on a sin-cursed earth, and I don't always feel fulfilled. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I fit in. I've been told I'm in him, and it's like, it doesn't feel that way. No, it doesn't. And this, what I'll call thorn in the flesh, that God doesn't choose to remove, is a reminder that I am an outsider. And that's okay. Broken people in a broken world. And it helps me set my affections where they ought to be. And it helps me yearn for him even more. And I think you have some verses on there about that. And at that moment, when Christ comes for his bride, which includes all of us here who know him, you're going to experience what by faith you have chosen to believe. And you're going to fit in perfectly with your creator, your redeemer, your companion, your husband, the lover of your soul, and you're going to know your home. But not yet. So, for now, we all have unfulfilled longings to be totally accepted, to totally belong, and to be totally satisfied. And while you have not physically experienced that, God promises you in his word, you already have it. All of those things have been met. It's a done deal, and you will experience it one day. So until then, I'm just going to stop being surprised by that, and I'm not going to let that distract me from my mission. You would think that that's depressing, because here's what I've just told you. Those unfulfilled longings, yeah, that's the way it is. Suck it up. No. Actually, what I have found is when you know that, it frees you to see all the tastes instead of expecting the feast and being disappointed all the time. I think it leads to thankfulness and a lot of appreciation, a lot of gratitude. When I'm not trying to use people to meet my needs, I'm free to see the tastes that they are instead of, well, I know they were trying to be helpful, but that wasn't just the way to say that. Well, that's the feast. There'll come a day where we all say what we're supposed to say. But until then, look at the fact that she cared enough to try. Not, I was suffering, and instead of saying just the right thing, she said something else. She said something. And I'll see that as a taste, because I don't need the feast right now. It's coming. It's coming. Think of it this way. Imagine, this is not political, we're not here to talk about who people are, but imagine you've been invited for dinner at the White House. I don't know about you, but I'm assuming that, like, that's pretty amazing. So, I would not eat all day, because I'm not going full. You know, I'm not going to walk into a White House banquet full. So I have not eaten all day. I'm famished. I get to this White House banquet for whatever reason that they invited me. And somebody's walking around with those a little piece of bread, a little cucumber on it, cherry tomato, a little bit of drizzle. I don't know about you, but I kind of like those little appetizer things. And they give you one of those. And that's it. How are you feeling about that? That's exactly. No, I don't think so. Why? Because I was expecting a lot more than that. So I sure don't want that little thing. I'm starving. I did not eat all day, not for a little piece of bread with a cucumber and a tomato and drizzle. Okay, imagine you're in a church of 50, and Women's Ministries puts on a light tea at 2 in the afternoon and says light refreshments. And you walk in, and there's somebody with a little tray, really cute little piece of bread, a little cucumber on top, a little tomato, a little bit of drizzle. What are you thinking? That's pretty good. I like those, because I do like those, right? So if that's not your favorite, think of a different one. What's the difference? What I was expecting. When I expected a feast, I couldn't even enjoy the taste. But when you're looking for a taste, you're going to see it everywhere. When people say to you, I don't have that many friends, do you have one? There's a taste. My son said to me once, several years ago, but he was getting older and looking for ways to be discipling others, and we were in the car going somewhere, and we were talking about that, and he said, I'm finding that my relationships are kind of one way. Like, I'm trying to reach into people's lives, and I have people that I'm trying to help, and he said, but it's not a lot of two-way. And I said, well, that's probably true. And then he looked at me and he said, and then I got to thinking, it's that way for you, isn't it, Mom? Most of your relationships are one way. I'll cry thinking about it. He was so sweet. And I said, yeah, that's all right. I said, do you have anybody you can talk to? And he can talk to his mom and dad. We talked about that. And he had one friend that he said, I know I can call him. And I said, oh, honey, you have a friend. How many people do you need to tell your junk to? Like, do you need to repeat it like over and over and over? Do you have one that will listen to you and will try to push you toward Christ? And he's like, yeah, I do. I said, well, praise the Lord. What more do you need? Now go love everybody else. I don't need a feast. I could enjoy the taste of that friendship instead of going, she has 12 friends and I have two. You have two friends? Praise the Lord. Do you know that there are women who would have nobody to talk to? Go be that one for them. Freeing, isn't it? Oh, and then you realize, oh, I'm thankful for that one instead of, I wish I had 12. We call those Eeyore days, you know? It's my birthday and nobody's coming to my party. So when we're getting into our self-pity modes around the house, we'll say, Eeyore day? Yeah, it's an Eeyore day. Okay, so I'm looking for the feast, and so I don't see any of the tastes. So I would say to you, when you're not clamoring after it, and you don't need it, and you're not entitled to it, you're going to see he gives you tastes everywhere. When you walk into church, only one person said hi to me. How about somebody said hi to me? Look at the entitlement. Only one person. Well, how many are you entitled to? That would be zero, so one is more. So, wow, that was awesome. That's great. And honestly, you know, we're at a new campus ministry, new 3 or 4 years now, and we've really worked with them on reaching out. And so we've had some that have said, like, back off. I visit your church, like, brr! And I'm like, you know, somebody's going to be mad. They're mad because too many people talk to them. They're mad because nobody talked to them. So we have to find just the right number of people. And so we've decided if you're going to get mad because we attacked you. If you're going to, we'll take it. But they're looking for the feast. They want it to be perfect. Whatever that perfect is for you. It might be that nobody talks to me. How dare they? For some people, it is that. But how about just the taste? Look, somebody's trying to be nice to me. It was a little awkward. We didn't really know what to say. Somebody tried. And you'll appreciate so much more. So one example, and I always preface this because I have no desire to give you a false impression of my life at home or to give you a point of comparison that makes your life sound worse. But there's a lot of issues in our home because we're just like all the rest of you, okay? I know how to provoke my husband. I know how to push his buttons. I'm not proud of that, but I know how, so that can happen. But I want to give you one example of something he did so that you can recognize it. I'm coming in from the garage, and our garage comes into our kitchen. So I'm really mad. It wasn't about Brent. I don't even know what it was. I have no idea. I'm sure it was incredibly important and life-changing. But I was really mad. So I walked in, got out of my car, went in the garage door into the kitchen, and poor Brent happened to be standing in the kitchen. Bad place. And so I let it out, whatever it was. I don't know about you, but there are times that you recognize that you think you're righteous because you're so deceived that this vile anger coming out your mouth, you believe is righteous, and it's the other people who are not loving Jesus enough, and that's why you have to be this vile. So there are those times when I'm convinced I'm right. This wasn't even that. Like, it's coming out my mouth, and as I'm hearing it, because he was not distracting with his sin, he just sat and listened, so my sin is filling the room, and I could hear it, and I'm thinking, shut up, and I couldn't. It just kept coming. So I know I'm wrong. I know I'm petty. I know it's completely me, and I'm not stopping. Like, it's just coming out. And now, and maybe you're not as wicked as I am, I'm mad at him for seeing me be wicked. Because I feel exposed. Because I try to not be wicked in front of everyone. It doesn't go as well. So now I feel vulnerable and exposed. And I'm waiting for him to rebuke me, and I'm getting defensive. He hasn't even said anything. So I'm already defensive about, you don't know how hard it was, and I don't do this all the time, and so I'm ready to defend my wickedness against this poor man who's just standing in the kitchen. And I took a breath at some point, thank the Lord that I have limited capacity, so I had to take a breath. And when I did, he looked at me and just said, come here. And I started sobbing. Because he had just seen me, no excuses. It wasn't even like I had a good reason because there'd just been a horrible accident. It just wasn't. It was just wicked. He saw it, and he didn't say, that's okay, I don't blame you, I'm mad at him too. He didn't enter into my sin, but he said, I see you, and I just love you. And he gave me a hug, and I started sobbing, and I'm like, I am so wicked. And he just said, let's just pray. And he took me to the cross. Now, my fear in sharing that is people go, my husband doesn't always do it. My doesn't always do that either. But what was that a picture of? A picture of what Christ does for me every time I sin. Every time I spit on him and say, I don't even think you care about me because you let da 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 da, as he's been on the cross for me, and I do that. He says, no, honey, come here. That was a taste. Here's what I could do with that taste. I could say, well, he's a pastor. He's supposed to be gentle with me and lead me to the cross. Can I tell you, as women, we get like that. And then the next time I blow up, if he doesn't respond that way, what kind of man is that? He's not leading his wife. I don't deserve that. And he's not going to do that all the time. And he doesn't do that all the time. Hear me. He doesn't do that. There are times he's blowing up. And sometimes I take him to the cross. Sometimes I get mad with him and we have Oreos and milk. You know? It's not okay. It's not okay. But at that moment, that was a taste. And I could say, I don't deserve it. And it may never happen again. And that's okay. But right now, that was a taste. And I could fully enjoy it without thinking, he better do it every time. Or I am entitled. But when I expect the feast, I expect my husband to be Jesus for me. He does that for me, and I think, well, that's good. I don't even appreciate it. Because he just oughta. So hear that as that's a taste. And they're everywhere. If you've walked into a room and somebody has just tried to talk to you, that was a taste. That was a taste. So when I'm not focused on trying to get my needs met anymore, because here's what I know, they've already been met. It does not feel like it. One day it will. And until then, God, would you help me to see the tastes that I have been unable to see because I'm mad I'm not at a feast. So the appetizer was not okay with me because I was starving and wanted a feast. But Lord, the feast is coming. I have the down payment of your Holy Spirit. It's a done deal. I do not have to wonder if I'm going to get the feast. In the meantime, enjoy the appetizers. And it's okay if I'm not completely full. Just enjoy it. Then I'm freer to actually love people. Until you get to that point, you can't love people. You're too busy using them. I can't love them. Now I can. Look around you at all the frantic people also trying to get their longings met. Some of them are flirting with your husband because that's the way they're trying to get their longings met. If all the men in the world thought I was amazing, I would be fulfilled. You don't need to sit in judgment of her. I understand there's things we need to do, but it happens, right? Some of them have to look a certain way, some of us. Some of us are all about our job and telling you how much better ours is than yours. We have to have the latest gadget. Many of the people around you are experiencing that kind of unfulfilled longing, and just as we didn't know what it was, they don't know what it is, and they don't even have the hope of the gospel. They don't have a guarantee that it's ever going to get any better. This is it. Can you imagine? Sitting with each of my parents as they died, I remember saying to my husband, if this is all there was, it's so not worth it. It's just not. Thank you, Lord, it's not all there is. But if it were, now you need to understand the people around you that you're sitting in judgment of because they're acting like pagans because they are pagans, this is it for them. Of course they're trying to get out what they can get out of it. This is it. How depressing is that? And you know better. My needs are met. I'm enjoying the taste. Now I'm free to go and help those other people and love them because I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Right now, I just want to get as many people to come with me as I can. I've thought about before, you know, heaven's going to be amazing in ways that my mind can't comprehend. And I was thinking, everything about heaven is better than earth. Is there anything we won't be able to do in heaven? And the only thing I've come up with so far, other than we won't sin, I mean, I get that, but anything that we would want to do that we can't do in heaven, and I think it's love the lost. Now is the only time we have to do that. And I can't do that if I'm too busy sucking the life out of the people around me, trying to get them to fill my longings. Now, my lack of perfect contentment pushes me to my knees, draws me closer to the one who's promised that he has met them and I will experience it when I'm with him. And now I get to focus on everybody else. As I do this in counseling, sometimes just understanding it brings a lot of hope because I'm not doing anything wrong. You mean it's okay? You feel that way too, Janet? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Then what do I need to do? I need to spend a lot of time meditating on the gospel because my experience does not match the reality sometimes. And if you've not read A Gospel Primer, you're probably saved, but just to be sure, you just need to read this book. I know, he didn't write it till many years after you could have been saved, but it's an amazing book, and the back section is the gospel in narrative form that is powerful. Go through there, and here's what I do with people I'm counseling. Underline 5 things that amaze you about it, because it's page after page of just the gospel. And then underline the 5 things you struggle to believe, and you'll find out why you're struggling to apply the gospel. And then I said, just look at this one that you struggle to believe. And we read it, and most women say the same ones. When I sin, God feels no wrath in his heart against me. Do you believe that? Well, I think he's pretty disappointed. So we talked about, what if you believe that? How would that change your week, just this one thing? So I want you to get up every morning and read that, and then I want you to pretend you believe it, and act the way you would act if you did, because you're really not pretending. What I'm really saying is go against your emotions, but it's easier to say pretend. People know how to do that. They don't know how to go against their emotions, but they can pretend. So that's where we start. So I find that to be very helpful. Another one in there, this was such a powerful, I'm just going to share this with you because it was so powerful for me. It's called Liberation from Self-Love, and he says this, the gospel assures me that the love of God is infinitely superior to any love that I could ever give myself. And it goes on, but I'm going to ask you, I read this book. You can see I've read it a lot. It's probably the fourth time through. You read it and go, yeah, that's true. Boy, God loves me. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's true. Fourth time through, I went, do I believe that? Do I believe that his love is infinitely superior to any love that I could ever give to myself? I don't believe that most of the time. So I made a list, and I would encourage you to do this. Let's pretend that God said, you have the freedom without guilt or sin to love yourself in any way you want. Go. What would you do for yourself? So I started a list. Well, my husband would love me so much he'd have a hard time leaving to go to work because he wouldn't want to be out of my presence. So that relationship would be perfect. There'd be no conflict, and that would be great because who would give themselves conflict? I mean, I wouldn't do that to me. So I love me too much for that. My children would rise up and call me blessed every day and be saying, Mom, really, what can we do for you? You don't need to do for us. I know, wouldn't it be cool? Who wouldn't do that for themselves? I would not have any pain. I deal with chronic pain. I wouldn't give that to me because, you know, that's not very nice. In my book, my way of love, so I would have no pain. I would be healthy, meaning I can eat whatever I want, never feel sick, enjoy it, and be healthy. Because I don't enjoy exercise. I do it because I have to. And I do it because I have a friend that does it with me. And if she, you know, in any way can't come, I don't go. And it's kind of a joke, because she was out of town this week. I haven't been. And I could have gone Friday morning, and she's like, oh, I have to leave town. I went, okay, I guess can't go. So that's how much I love to exercise. So I would not make myself have to do that, because you know how much more I could do for the Lord if I just had a body that worked perfectly, slept well every night without any struggles, could do whatever I wanted. Well, okay, most days would be my birthday. Most of you would get very nice gifts for me that were very thoughtful, because I love little gifts. They don't even have to be expensive, really. Just wrap it and have it be thoughtful, and I'm all about it. So that's what I would do. What would I be like? Can I suggest to you purposeless? And what would be the point? I already have everything. Probably not very compassionate. Pretty selfish. Then I think, what does God's love? How is his better? How about I know everything about you and I love you anyway? Acceptance. Complete and utter acceptance. Isn't that what your heart's really asking for? How about no matter what you do, the cross of Christ is so powerful, you'll never be taken out of being his child. Security. And I will tell you, most of the women I work with, that's huge. Security. We're looking for security. And if we're married, we're demanding it in our husbands. You have 100% security. How about purpose? God says, you are my visible representative to all of creation of what I'm like. It's just an amazing thing for me to think about. I get to be the visible representative of the invisible God to all of creation, and what I do could matter to people for time and eternity. You want to talk purpose? Mm-hmm. I would kill myself with my love for me. I would destroy me. The way I would love me, nobody would even parent that way. Right? Because what would happen if you gave your kid everything they asked for, let him eat whatever he wanted, never said no to him, oh, made every day his birthday? Can you say nightmare? Your kid would be a monster. I would make a monster out of myself. That's how I would love me if I had the freedom to do it. His love is much better than mine. And I needed the reminder that the gospel assures me he loves you better than you love you. That's important. I also have them study through Psalm 139. As a new believer, I read that, and the woman who led me to Christ, so influential in my life, used that because I had what she would have called, because she was gracious to me, low self-esteem, when in reality I just thought about myself a lot, and I was upset that you didn't. And so that was the whole low self-esteem thing, but that's where I was. So she read to me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I tell you that psalm is so much better than that? When you know it's written by David, David, who was a nobody, the youngest shepherd that they didn't even bother bringing in to see if he might be the one that God was going to make king until Samuel had to say, you got any other sons? These aren't the ones. He was a nobody. God brought him from obscurity and made him king. And what was David known for in part? Well, that would be adultery, deception, murder. This is what David knows when he starts it by saying, you know everything about me, God. We don't have time to read the whole psalm. Read that psalm thinking about that's what David knew. This is not a Hallmark card. Your hand is behind me and before me. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, meaning full of wonder, not Hallmark wonderful, full of wonder. I can't get away from your spirit, he says. If I went to the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Why mighty? If I was in darkness, you're there. And then he says, you knew everything about me before I was born, which is amazing. And look what that means, he knew. And then he says, and your thoughts about me are precious. You want to talk about acceptance? How about somebody who knows more evil about you than you will admit to you and still says, I chose you. It allows him to end the psalm by saying, search me and try me. And you know what we say? I don't want to know. I don't want to think that way. I'm good. I'm better than that. I'm better than that. He's like, no. If you already know it, God, and you love me anyway, search me and try me. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. I got nothing to fear. Fearless. Show me my sin so I can get rid of it. Why? Fierce loyalty to someone who would know everything about him and love him anyway. That's belonging. I don't always feel it, but that's the reality that I live in. And when I learn to live out of that, I don't have to judge you. I can just say, I get it. And then I get to focus on you. Make a thank list. My husband and I were talking about this, some issues going on right now. And I said, you know, I need to just spend some time listing all the people around us who are faithful. Because some aren't, and they're loud. But I need to remember all the ones who are. And just we start talking about people. You know, this person's been around. Yeah, you could, you know, if I needed something, we could go, yeah. What are you thankful for? Those are your tastes of what God is doing. And instead of living by lies, I'm just going to take God at his word. That's what faith is.
Wow, I love that. And I'm so grateful for Janet's transparency and her biblical perspective on how we can handle our disappointments in a Christ-honoring way. That was Janet Oakwin speaking to a group of women not long ago. If you missed any of this 3-day series, I hope you'll listen to all of it at reviveourhearts.com. You know, when you're fighting with unhealthy emotions, the Word of God is such a powerful tool to change our perspective. And when you go to our website, reviveourhearts.com, you'll find a treasure trove of biblical teaching for women on so many helpful subjects. And we're able to provide that teaching through support from listeners like you. And there's a special group of listeners who've given in a significant way to help make it possible for you to hear today's program. That's our monthly partner team. This team prays for Revive Our Hearts, they pray for our listeners, and they also support the ministry each month to help make this program possible. Our monthly partners get regular updates from Revive Our Hearts and also a devotional resource called Daily Reflections. There are other benefits to becoming a monthly partner as well. There are other benefits that you'll receive when you join our monthly partner team. So I want to encourage you, perhaps you've been listening to this ministry for some time. It's been an encouragement to you. It's something you find yourself sharing with others. Would you consider becoming one of our monthly partners at this time? You can get more information or sign up for this team by visiting us at reviveourhearts.com or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. As a member of our monthly partner team, you'll be helping women around the world experience freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ. Now, have you ever wanted to share Jesus with someone from a Muslim background, but you just weren't sure how to do it? Well, our guest next week tells how she uses storytelling in countries normally thought of as closed to the gospel. It's a model you may be able to use for sharing God's love with others. So be sure to join us again next week for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants to help you be more dangerous for God's kingdom. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.